listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me once again Ivan Bebek. He is the executive chairman of RN Resources, one of my favorite stocks, one that I, the second largest holding that I have. And I know the last time we talked, Ivan says, well, Jay, we've got to get that to be the largest holding of yours. And who knows, it probably will happen at some point in time, especially if Ivan continues on his successful track record. He and his partner, Sean Wallace, have done a remarkable job of making people money through exploration in the past, and he's back to do it again, I think, bigger than ever. Thanks for joining me again. Thanks for joining me again, Ivan.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be back here.
Always good to have you with me. I should maybe, I like to tell my listeners the symbols of your stock, AUG, in Canada. You can buy it down here in the States under GGTCF. 76.6 million shares, $2.52 in U.S. money a little while ago anyway, and that gives it a market cap of just under $200 million in U.S. dollars. So it's not the smallest company we talk about here, but it is, it's on its way, I think, to becoming much bigger. Ivan, your assistant, Jay Adler, sent me some notes this morning, and well, he just sort of emphasized the size of your Committee Bay exploration project that's going on in Nunavut. And you know, I know you're just getting started. And last year you had, that was really your project, and then you started acquiring projects. You're going to be drilling and having news coming out now all around the clock, all around the year, actually. And your shares haven't done too much recently. They've sort of treaded sort of sideways within a range. But I'm guessing that's likely to change sometime pretty soon. But maybe to get started, could you just give our listeners a sense of what you're doing at Committee Bay? Because that's going to be where the first news comes, I guess, this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. To start off with Committee Bay, we've just started actually about a day and a half ago drilling 25,000 meters. And what we're doing is we're testing 12 different targets that the guys have spent 2 years defining on the belt. This belt is spectacular. It's the distance from New York to Boston, if you haven't heard me speak about it before. And there's about 67 historical discoveries that have been done on the belt, but no one's followed up on what those discoveries mean. What we've done is we've actually pretty much surveyed the entire belt, to use a very generalist word. We've scanned the surface and taken samples to find the most highest probable areas of there being a major gold deposit. We're not looking for 2 or 3 million ounces, Jay, in each target. We're looking for 5 to 10 million ounces. That's mm-hmm. how big these structures are. That's how much gold is shedding off of them. There is a deposit that was found by our predecessors called Three Bluffs in the middle of the belt. This deposit's about 1.2 million ounces of just under 8 grams per ton. That's a high-grade deposit. It gets a lot bigger without too much arm waving, meaning it can get to the 3 to 5 million ounce range. However, standalone, you know, it's a great asset, but we would get paid a lot more as shareholders if we found the start of 2 or 3 or more of those before mm-hmm. we went and drilled the expensive delineation drilling. So our look at Committee Bay, it's multi-generation of exploration. Because the belt's so big, we could probably find gold there for the next 50 years. However, in the short term, which is, you know, in a junior's life, time is efficiency. It is money to us. We're mm-hmm. trying to find the start of 2 or 3 deposits that could get in the range of 3 to 5 million ounces, thus giving us a 10 to 15 million ounce look, which would be one of the biggest in the north, you know, in the Arctic, and one of the best geopolitically places to be. It would be really spectacular for us this summer to come up with a few discoveries out of the 12 big shots we're taking. I'm being conservative when I think 2 or 3 might end up being there. All we need is one. Well, one new one would do a dramatic in, you know, performance on the share price, which, you know, to your point, it hasn't performed too much in the last few weeks. It's at a good market cap. You know, we're not cheap. We're at $200 million or just under $200 million US. I think you have to pay attention to the old adverb of, you get what you pay for. You know, you've got seven major projects within Orin. You're both in Canada and Peru. There's 25 different targets that could be, you know, 5 million ounce gold mines in one company. And that's something that hasn't really been done before in terms of taking the shot. I don't know how many will end up being mines. These are speculations that we're making, but they're very good speculations on some assets that we bought at the bottom of the bear market that we saw in the last 5 years leading to this market, which is improving.
Yeah, and it's an area up there in Nunavut that is now being exploited, and Agnico Eagle, I think, is doing quite well up there, are they not?
Yeah, so they had a mine called Meadowbank. I believe it was around 5 million ounces. They were mining that. I think it's on its last year of production. And they made a new discovery called Amaruq, which in about 3.5 years is pushing 6 or 7 million ounces of gold, which is incredible in terms of size of what can be found in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. I believe Amaruq now is going to get produced at Meadowbank. And then Agnico has another mine they bought there called Meliadine, which is 11 million ounces of gold. And collectively, they're spending $1.2 billion, they announced earlier this year, in the Arctic, which really makes the Arctic a place to be for high-grade gold exploration. And why the Arctic? Why is it so interesting to somebody like Agnico or ourselves? The geopolitical nature of that part of Canada, the stability, the sparse population of animals or people, it's a good place to be mining. It is remote, so it comes with a cost, but you mitigate that, or you reduce the cost by the grade of gold. You know, high-grade gold, you don't hear of very many mines in the 7 to 9 gram range anywhere in the world anymore. And Canada, northern Canada, is becoming a frontier for high-grade gold discoveries. High-grade gold will give you a tremendous amount of profitability. Generally, you have to move a lot less rock to get a lot more profit. You know, it's really a new frontier, and it's one of the last few that volume of gold between Agnico's two mines, close to 20 million ounces of gold, can be discovered up there in the north. There's also Sabina and TMAC as well. So there's collectively about probably 30 million ounces of gold in the Arctic that so far has been discovered and is starting to get mined. And so when you look at that volume of gold and you look at the grade that everybody's mining, it's really changing the game of where you find high-grade gold. And the premiums that investors can realize, because it's Canada, should be better than most foreign jurisdictions that you'd have to fight with and deal with.
Yeah, indeed. And how late in the year can you work up there at Nunavut? That is exploration work up there.
Yeah, so we'll complete in September, and that's a great question because, you know, how far can you go? We're obviously going to have enough time to drill the 25,000 meters and plus do some more surface work on the balance of the belt at Committee Bay and our second project in the Arctic called Gibson's McCoyd. The season can start as early as March. You could start with RC rigs. You could actually drill it year-round. I actually believe Agnico does this, although you'd want to do that once you got into a new discovery and you've set up camp right over top of a deposit, right? But for us, our plan is, if we make some discoveries this summer and the market monetizes it with us, you know, we get paid for it, we would likely go back as early as March of next year and follow up with a different type of drill rig, which can drill a little bit deeper, and we would just pull these discoveries down and get a bit more of a sense of what kind of volume could be there in terms of ounces. And again, we're playing with the time curve here, because the more discoveries you make early give you a chance to be less dilutional with future financing to be able to spend more money, right?
Right. Yeah, great strategy. And, you know, then let the big boys come in when they can see those multi-million ounce deposits, spend their money, and they're the ones that are in the hunt for the big ounces. They're having a hard time replacing. And you're going to a place like Nunavut, where the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, hasn't been mined out before. Well, I want to ask you about the Homestake project in British Columbia. So you got those two main areas in this hemisphere, in the northern hemisphere, that you're working on. Then you'll go to the southern hemisphere to work on, you know, when the season changes, in Peru. But talk to us a little bit about your plans at the Homestake project in British Columbia, which is a very substantial, potentially very substantial mining project.
So it's a great project. It's another high-grade Canadian deposit. It's 1.2 million ounces, roughly, of 9 grams. equivalent, gold equivalent. I think about 80% of that is gold and 20% of that is silver. It's a precious metal asset that can be mined via producing a concentrate. That 1.2 million ounces occurs in only 7 million tons of rock, which is incredibly low cost to mine, to build a mine around that. However, as that sits today, you know, we've run our own numbers to see what that would be worth. I can't get into the details because we'd obviously have to release them, but it would be a mine, in our opinion, today, as is. You wouldn't have to find another ounce, and you'd do very well with that mine. What gets us extremely excited are two things. One is the grade that's been drilled there. They've drilled their best hole with 73 meters of 21 grams per ton gold. That's a spectacular drill hole, and that's what occurs. You've seen results like that in SK Creek. You've seen similar stuff in Pretium. You know, the Golden Triangle in BC is an anomalous place in the world where some of the highest grade gold mines occur. And what we've noticed in the past 6 months, we've done a lot of work on all the historical work that's been done on site, was our predecessors had not followed it, you know, the way we are for structure. We see a lot of extensions to the deposit that's there. We also found some new structures that we believe were completely missed. So coming to a project like that with 1.2 million ounces of 9 grams gold equivalent to start, you know, we have a very high level of confidence that we would be able to at least double it and possibly go a lot further. You know, it's kind of in the land of smaller but very rich mines in BC, which for any major or mid-tier mining, it's the most profitable mine you could have. The less amount of rock you have to move to produce more ore, the better. And when you talk about 9 grams gold equivalent and you're producing a concentrate, we're about 10 kilometers away from the deep water port in Stewart. You know, it gives us really a lot of really favorable economic conditions, so that building a mine there would be cheap, the profitability would be very high, and you'd be able to sustain really low gold prices if we did ever go back towards that trend. But Homestake's a special favorite of mine just on the basis of what's around. Pretium and SK Creek and Seabridge have been some incredible mines that have been found up there, well known around the world, and I think we're on the start of something like that. The other good thing about Homestake is the drilling in Homestake starts a few weeks before the first results come out of Committee Bay. So we'll be drilling Committee Bay and Homestake at the same time, and you know, and it'll continue past the Committee Bay drilling into the fall, and then Peru drilling starts. So it's really spectacular that we're drilling the whole portfolio. Every project gets drilled, and you know, the drill doesn't stop turning. So it's going to be a challenge for us to keep up with the press releases on the results, and that's a good problem, a good challenge to have. So a lot more to look forward to, and I'll point back to the share price performance. We got to a certain level. Now people are going in the phase of two things. One, they're curious what the Fed's going to do tomorrow, so there's a bit of a pause on the gold market. I listened to part of your previous interview about the U.S. dollar breaking through some certain important levels, and I do agree with that. That'll be a softer U.S. dollar in the second half of the year. I do think it's heading into a bit of a softer downward trend, and I think that the gold market post tomorrow's meeting will start to pick up for the second half of the year. So our timing, you know, in the general market is pretty positive. You know, I think we're in a very good position to deliver some big returns based off of some discovery between the two Canadian projects this summer and then the Peruvian projects this fall.
Excellent. Well, I do want to ask you more about about Peru. We're basically out of time right now, and perhaps when we get closer to the drilling season there, we can talk about that. But in the meantime, you're doing very well. You've got an expensive program, though. How are your finances to get through this year, and will you have anything left, or will you have to go back to the till next year to raise some more money?
So two things are happening. We'll have about $3 million left in December, and we get offered money often. I would say every week. We're not looking to take it down here. We are very ambitious with what we'd be able to do with some discovery holes in this market. We would probably look to raise our next amount of money in the fall on the back of Committee Bay and Homestake results. So, you know, in my own personal opinion, you know, I'd hope to see at least double or triple current share prices before we do that financing. That's my personal speculation of where it might get financed. But, you know, the only thing that could expedite that happening would be another strategic investor. As you're aware, Goldcorp owns 12.5% of us. There's been a lot of interest because of what we have as a portfolio by various corporates and institutional investors that are, don't own us yet. And, you know, we have $35 million as I sit here with the phone with you right now, so we're not in a race to do that. Our next major event before a financing will be hopefully some spectacular results and a return for shareholders that's better and a very anti-dilutive share price. But, yeah, we're looking very forward to it. And one last comment, I know we're running out of time, is, you know, we'll save Peru for the next conversation, but last year and the calls we've had, Peru's been a concept of finding significant deposits, major endowment in a country that's underexplored. Well, the layers we continue to peel off those surface of those projects is starting to make Peru a reality. And I think Peru would compete with something massive just as much as Canada will. So it's a really exciting portfolio, and Peru is going to be significant for us as it gets ready to be drilled here in a few months.
Excellent. Well, we don't have to wait for news. There's going to be a constant flow, which is new for you now. And I think that's going to really, especially if you deliver the kind of results I'm anticipating you will, it's going to get the market very excited about your shares. I can't help but listen to you, Ivan. I know you're so enthused about what you're doing. And that would be fine and dandy, except your track record gives people reason to understand why you're enthused. Thanks so much for being with us today, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you very much, Jay. Appreciate being here. Thank you.
You bet. Well, thanks. Well, folks, don't go away. John Rubino is going to be with us, and he'll have some very interesting things to say about the markets, about the gold markets and, well, the cryptocurrency markets and other things. So don't go away. We'll be right back with John Rubino.
Novo Resources focuses on the exploration and development of gold projects. Its flagship asset is the Beatons Creek Gold Project in Western Australia, where it is currently upgrading and expanding on its resources to produce an economic study in Q3 2017, followed by construction in Q1 2018. Novo enjoys a strong balance sheet and supportive shareholder support from the likes of Eric Sprott and Newmont Mining. It trades in Canada and the U.S. under the symbols NVO and NSRPF, respectively. A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon Territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com. Dynacert is a global leader in carbon emission reduction technologies. Created for use in diesel engines, the hydrogen unit has been proven to reduce carbon emissions by up to 40%, increase torque, improve engine oil quality, and provide up to 19% in fuel savings. Our leading-edge technology is designed for tractor trailers, rail, marine, and newly developed for diesel engine cars. Reducing the amount of greenhouse gases provides benefits to the environment, to communities and businesses, and to our shareholders.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.